Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to podcast 23 of 2024. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can follow me on Twitter at OBKiev. Follow us at The Odds Breakers and follow us on social media / The Odds Breakers. This episode is being brought to you by BetMGM. Bet $5, get $150 in free bets. Terms, conditions, and location apply. Just click on the message in this podcast description. If you'd like to support the Odds Breakers and benefit from our premium plays, please visit theoddsbreakers.com, click shop, and become a member. Pick any for winning cappers to get the premium plays before the line moves. You can also support us on patreon.com. And if nothing else, please visit the Odds Breakers, become a free picks and Telegram subscriber. What an absolutely insane tournament. Wow. Lots of just amazing games. How about that Texas A&M game versus Houston last night? Just absolutely amazing. The Oregon game destroyed me. I had a nice 14 parlay going in on that. That would have paid a definitely lot of money. And unfortunately it was one of my larger premium plays. So as my Saturday went from almost great to exactly dead even. So wasn't happy about that, but just the main, just that game where Cuisinard hit that three at the end to force a second overtime. Of course, Oregon decided not to score. And the massive line value you might have had, 7, 6.5, whatever you had, was absolutely gone at that point. There's a couple games like that that unfortunately bit me. But even after the bad beats, bad beat on live FAU plus 4.5, bad beat on Oregon. We also had a pretty bad beat on Grand Canyon yesterday. Still up for the tournament, probably about 12 to 15 units since Tuesday, but only 4 units since Thursday, I believe. Thursday, we were down a little bit. Friday, we were up a lot. Saturday, pretty much broke even. Sunday, just barely squeaking in with that Texas A&M cover at the end. The free plays hit pretty well on Sunday as well, but man, even with all the drama and the excitement, the officiating was god-awful this tournament, and it's almost like the network sent a message to somebody saying, we cannot afford to have no number ones or two seeds in the Final Four, because that's how it was last year. And maybe they did not get a ton of rings for FAU. Hell, I was watching and I loved it. You know, maybe when San Diego State was in, UConn was even a four seed last year. You know, if you remember, Miami wasn't a high seed, you know, so maybe that's what they didn't want, because, I mean, these whistles are god-awful. What happened to Grand Canyon at the end of yesterday? Every single time Bama drove the lane, they got some sort of a weird flop foul. It was absolutely ridiculous. Going over the back of Grand Canyon on those free throw rebounds. You know, just throwing the guys out of the way practically. You know, they had no chance because of that. You know, they worked their asses off to get back in the game, and this is what you get. The Duke-James Madison game. James Madison's best player, Julian Wooden, was fouled out of the first half within the first couple minutes with non-existent fouls. Now, when you play Duke or Kansas or UCLA in the past or UConn or North Carolina, and you're a small school, you rely on your best players way more than the others. Because if you're a blue blood, you have talent on that bench. When you're a small school, you really rely on these guys, and they were just completely taken out of that game as soon as that happened. I mean, I was happy to hit the under 148.5. That barely squeaked by at the end. But after that, there was absolutely no defense that could be played for James Madison. Don't get me wrong. When they blew out Wisconsin, they're smashing Wisconsin all over the place, and Wisconsin couldn't buy a whistle if they had the winning lottery ticket. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Wisconsin got absolutely manhandled by James Madison, just overpowered, embarrassed. James Madison took the balls from their hands, but it's just one of those games. You know, the officials decided to swallow the whistle. Well, Wisconsin benefited in the past from those that kind of officiating. But now they've become kind of soft. And here we are complaining about guard again. It's so funny. Badger fans, so yin and yang about guard, the coach. But back to the tournament. If you look at KenPom, the first top 14 teams, the only one that's out is Auburn. And then 15 and 16, Baylor's out. But then San Diego State, number 17, is in. The only two other teams that are in is 23 Clemson and 52 NC State. That's how top-heavy this tournament is. My family loves it because when they fill out their brackets, they pretty much auto-pick number ones and shift the Final Four around. So they're doing really good from a bracket challenge. Mine needs a little love because my South bracket, thinking Wisconsin could have a chance, has no chance. But at least I have Tennessee versus UConn in the finals still. So I have a shot, and I have North Carolina down at the bottom. But man, all ones and two seeds making it. Going back to last Thursday, Kansas versus Samford. Samford's about to win that game down by 1 point with like a minute or less left. I mean, sure, a little more work to do, down 1 point. But the momentum was massively with them. They jump up and block the shit out of Kansas, not even touching the guy. What does the ref do? Blows a foul. I don't understand how you could be a human and you see something that never existed. There's a couple out-of-bounds plays that happened like that with Baylor and a few others. But you're standing right there, and they were in position to see it. But then you just blow a whistle and call the thing that didn't happen after staring at it. What makes a human blow a whistle actually staring at something that didn't happen and calling it wrong? What makes a human do that? Because that's all I saw in this tournament. You know? How is that possible that I can stare at something, blow my whistle, and call it the opposite? What goes on in the brain to do that? But here's the thing. This all could be fixed. You can have one more official in front of TV screens that says, nope, bad whistle, inbounds pass for Samford. That's all you need to do. But this tournament was littered with that, favoring the favorites. So that was very, very frustrating. I mean, some of them got their upsets. Auburn, that was the big story going out. Well, Kentucky, too. But Auburn was a much bigger KenPom, number four in KenPom. Well, Kentucky was 21. But, man, Kentucky was just poor coaching by Calipari, you know? I mean, the only thing Golkey does is shoot threes. So if you're Calipari, did you not watch one piece of film on Oakland? You know, did you not watch him the whole stinking year? Because that's all Golkey does. You know? And you literally gave him to him. That's all you had to do to win that game. You didn't have to do much else. I mean, the game plan was right in front of you. How do you not prepare for that? You know, that blows my mind with Cal. I even thought he was a better coach than that. And I was really down on Calipari, but man, he's got to go, in my opinion. So I thought it was amazing to see Oakland win, by the way. I loved it. I love seeing Yale win. Even though I had Auburn in a survivor, I still have two left out of my three survivors that I'm in. So I'm struggling right now. Everybody's going to be on Marquette versus NC State next week. So do I go the opposite? That's a lot of food for thought there. Since I have two left, maybe I have to do one Marquette, but if I had one left, I wouldn't. I would do Illinois, and then hopefully everyone gets bounced. Then I can do UConn next week. So that's how you win survivors. But not really having a Cinderella in, because you can't say Clemson, number 23 on KenPom, or even an ACC team like NC State is that much of a Cinderella. So I was disappointed in the calls because of a lot of that. Very disappointed. Otherwise, a lot of my bets went well. Michigan State, North Carolina over, no stress. Gonzaga over Kansas, no stress. You know, did lose Duquesne first half. I don't know where the hell they disappeared to. Get some parlays, the premium ones anyway, ones I send out. St. Mary's was a snoozer. Glad first week Grand Canyon took care of them, so that helped a lot. Clemson yesterday against Baylor. I took Clemson with the points. That was good. So I had a lot of great things this weekend, but now we have this top-heavy bracket with just a ton of top teams. And yes, the matchups are going to be good, and now the ratings are going to be good thanks to what happened. But it's still not what I want to see in the tournament. I want to see a couple Cinderellas in the Sweet 16. I want to see fair officiating, and I want to see just a lot more excitement, because now maybe you're appealing to a lot of these schools, but you're not appealing to the general nature of people wanting to see upsets. That's what I like. You know, who cares if North Carolina beats Alabama or if Alabama beats North Carolina? You know, who cares if Iowa State loses to Illinois? You know, be a lot better to see like a Grand Canyon beating a Houston, or at least a chance of. That's the way I enjoy this tournament. So I feel like I was a little bit shorted on that. But some other great games was Colorado versus Florida. Holy cow, they got really close at the end. Florida kind of peeled out of that. And the SEC hasn't been doing that well at all until they kind of got to the top here, because now you have still Tennessee in. You still have Alabama in. So they still have a shot. Big Ten's doing well. I had the Big 12 under, and now we're only down to two teams in the Big 12 and seven wins so far. So under 12.5 for plus money has a dang good chance. Unless Houston literally plays Iowa State, I'm pretty sure I'm going to win that. And then I took Mountain West under 5.5 on the props, if you remember. I gave away that last week. I think they only have three wins, because I don't know where the fourth one is. If you're counting Colorado State's playing game, I don't think they count that. But if they do, I'm still looking pretty good, being that, you know, San Diego State is the biggest dog to Connecticut coming up this weekend. Spread's a little bit big. I'm not so sure if Connecticut played all that well last week. I was a little bit concerned about that. I had them yesterday minus 14 points, minus 13.5, and some other things. And that gap really, it came down to like 16. They're winning by a ton. They put their scrubs in, and you know how that happens. I was kind of hoping they'd get a little bit bigger of a margin, but UConn's looking a little bit vulnerable here. I'm not so sure San Diego State can do anything here, but maybe UConn comes back refreshed a little bit. But San Diego State also, you know, tasted how close victory was last week, so I'm sure they're going to bring out their A game. But here are the lines for next week. And obviously, you have the smaller tournaments, the NIT. I think that there could be some value in that. I will definitely fire if I find a good opportunity, and I'm going to start capping more on those games. But Clemson versus Arizona is the first game. I actually will give out a play on this one. I took Clemson plus the 7, minus 105. I think this is off. I know that Arizona is going to have a big home advantage out in the West, and they show up to games, but Clemson's just playing great ball right now. I don't even think they were not leading a game this tournament. Two they played anyway for maybe a minute or less or something like that. You know, Clemson looking really good so far, looking like a tournament team. They're kind of built like a tournament team. But Arizona was not that impressive to me beating Dayton. I don't think Dayton's a good team. I think they let Dayton hang around the whole time, you know. And I think Clemson can definitely give them some trouble, because Clemson just beat a team like them in Baylor. I think Baylor and Arizona play very similar games. Arizona does play a little bit faster than Baylor. I guess Baylor back in the day used to play a lot faster. But, you know, Clemson was able to overpower a lot of that. And, man, Clemson got some really bad whistles at the end of that Baylor game, too. So I think Clemson is live plus the 7 here. If you look at the matchup advantages, there's actually a few that pop up for Clemson. For one, their rim rate is amazing. They're rim defense, near proximity, ranks number 3 in the nation adjusted. So they can play with some of the Arizona big boys. They also can guard the 3, you know. So we got Caleb Love chucking up threes, who can be pretty inconsistent. I like Clemson's chances there a little bit. Clemson's got a great near proximity game as well. And they're just playing a really good ball right now. You know, don't get me wrong, Arizona's playing great ball too. But Clemson, I think, is kind of in the groove here, and I think 7 points is a little bit much here. Clemson, if you look since February 10th, is the 20th best team in the nation. Of course, Arizona's higher, but Arizona also played in an easier conference, and they've dropped a few games themselves that they probably shouldn't have. So even though they're going to have some home court advantage, I think 7 is too much. Now, there might be some 7.5s popping back up, but I will definitely endorse the 7. I found a minus 105 7 for 2.5 stars, so let's hit that.
Show me the money!
We're also going to have more plays coming up for our Wednesday podcast to discuss the Sweet 16 with a guest, but this is just a first look. San Diego State, UConn. UConn's now minus 11, totals 136. You know, as this spread grows and the total goes down, you know, you have to start thinking your dog a little bit. Now, I don't love San Diego State, and I think that they were somewhat fraudulent coming in, but these kids played in tournaments before. You know, if they can just bang on Klingon a little bit, it just depends upon which way the whistles go too. But San Diego State has some good guys down there, like Jaden Ledee. Now, don't get me wrong, when they played UAB, they probably should have lost that game too, because Davis was fouled out on an all-ball block himself, which was absolutely insane to me. And then Ledee's kind of really good at flopping around. So which way are the fouls going to go in this one? You know, I will say that Ledee, 6'9", is ranked the fourth best player in the world on KenPom, well, in college basketball world anyway. So they do have some studs there. They do not shoot the three real well, so that worries me. But they only got blown out this year by double digits once, and that was away at New Mexico at the rack. Otherwise, all the rest of their losses were single digits. So something's got to give here. You know, I would possibly look to back this team. I would probably be one of the few people backing this team. And I know I keep saying I don't want to mess with UConn, but they can muck up these waters a little bit. UConn lost away to Creighton once. That's like literally their last loss since way back in December against Seton Hall. But playing against St. John's, 95-90, recently kind of shown a little vulnerability there on defense. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to take it, but I'm going to watch this spread for a little while. Another game, Alabama, North Carolina. North Carolina minus 4, 173.5. Is Bama going to get those whistles like they did? I don't know. But North Carolina is a team that can play with Alabama. And one thing that they would do that Grand Canyon didn't do is probably hit a lot more in the clutch, kind of like they did against Michigan State. This is an interesting spread. I think that these lines are pretty tight, personally. And I might look for some money line plays or money line two-team parlays, box them up with like a North Carolina and like a Marquette. You're going to get like minus 110 or plus 100, something like that. Not a bad way to look at it. Illinois, Iowa State. I have a strong lean to Illinois right now, but I just think of Illinois offense versus defense type game. Totals 146.5. Hope this over drops, because I think Iowa State will have to run with Illinois. I think Illinois sets the pace here, and I think this does go over. Could be one of those games that at the end you're just getting a lot of fouls. Yeah, I love Iowa State's defense, but man, if Illinois jumps them, Terrence Shannon, one of the best players in the whole NCAA, I would certainly lean Illinois on this one. NC State versus Marquette. I would make this 7.5, Marquette. I love DJ Burns, love the way the kid plays, but Marquette can just pile on the points. Obviously, Tyler Kolek came back and balling out well for him. 40% three-point shooter. Cam Jones, a 41% free-point shooter. You know? I mean, this is where NC State could fizzle out. Sure, they bounced Texas Tech quick. And I wasn't high on Texas Tech. And they did a hell of a job winning their tournament, man. And God, are they hot. But when does the gas run out on them? I think Marquette's just got a little bit more mental energy here possibly to get through. But I will say that NC State can be a little dangerous. DJ Burns right there is, obviously, I mentioned, funnest player to watch right now. Big, his weight's listed at 275. This dude hasn't been 275 for like 6 years. This dude is well over 300 pounds. Do not believe this, wait, listen again, Bob. But DJ Horn, it's up to him. He's a 40% three-point shooter. He has a bad day. They are smoked. But DJ Horn, amazing player for them. They kind of learn how to play really well as a team. And you got to give Keats a ton of credit for coaching this team and just what they accomplished so far. You know, amazing accomplishment so far for NC State. I'm not so sure if I would even bet the 6.5, even though I make it 7.5. So those are my thoughts. I think I might, just putting them in that money line parlay. And you got the Zags versus Purdue. This was 4.5. Now it's jumped to 5.5. Now Zags lost to Purdue earlier this year by 10. I think the Zags are a better team. I think Purdue's playing pretty hot basketball themselves, but this is just one of those. Mark Few's the better coach than Painter, especially in tournament situation. And then you have to look at that. And then you have to look at Purdue's Zach Edey always, you know, because he could be the game winner and he has a bad game and gets in foul trouble. Purdue can be absolutely screwed. So this is just another one of those games that I'm going to him and haw all week about. Watch the line. I mean, I think it's a good line. I would have made it 5. You know, I was kind of looking at the 4, 4.5. I'm like, is this enough to take Purdue? And then all of a sudden it bounces to 5.5. And I'm like, okay, well, let's watch the line a little bit on this one. Duke, Houston. Houston -4, total 134. Duke's playing a great game. You got to stop Shed. If you're playing Houston, you got to stop Shed. You stop Shed, you have a very good shot to win this game. But, you know, Duke just manhandled James Madison. But I also thought because of the foul trouble that James Madison in, Duke just kind of caught heat. This is one that I would consider laying it with Houston. But, you know, just looking at the matchup advantages, there's just not a ton on any, really. Houston's got a near proximity matchup advantage, even with Filipkowski down there. You can get to Filipkowski. But Duke's got the three-point advantage. They should be able to hit some threes against Houston. So, you know, definitely got to be a little worried about that if you're Houston. You know, Houston's the better-ranked team. They're a top team on KenPom, but I mean, Filipowski's been there, you know. These kids have been there. Mark Mitchell's sophomore, youngest kid on the team. Well, Jared McCain is, but you got Jeremy Roach, the senior, another big leader in Jeremy Roach, right? So he's going to get these kids, his teammates, ready for this game. Caleb Foster hasn't played in a while. He's probably out. Ryan Young. Yeah, I mean, Houston's got some big bangers down there. And the question is, can like Juwan Roberts get to Filipowski? He's 2 inches shorter. You got Javier Francis down there too. He's going to be banging away a little bit. But Houston, to be honest with you, is kind of a shorter team. They play like they're taller. But their defense is just relentless though. You know, Duke's not going to get all those open frees that they did against James Madison. Their ball rotation. That's a concern right there. Duke was has a great assist to field goal made ratio. I mean, I know it shows 82, but I think they're doing a little bit better than that as of late. Houston can get cold. That's my problem, but their defense always saves them. Probably a good number. 4 is probably a good number, you know. And then finally, you have Creighton versus Tennessee. Creighton now to +3. I'm not laying 3. I might lay 150. I'm going to watch this line too. I do have Creighton winning it all in a bracket. But I also have Tennessee going to the final game in my main bracket. So speaking of brackets, this is a spread that probably makes a little bit of sense. Tennessee playing great down the stretch. But, I mean, Dougie McDermott, man, he can win some big games. And you saw him beat Creighton. Beat UConn. You know, just a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so, we were on Creighton that game. And he can do it. And this is one where Shireman and Kalkbrenner could step up and show their senior-type leadership, right? And that's kind of what they did against Oregon. They got to overtime. Oregon's just playing fantastic ball. I almost feel like Creighton was tested out more than Tennessee. Tennessee really struggled against Texas a little bit. So this spread is a little off. Give me a 3.5, baby. Can we get a 3.5? Give me a 3.5. I'll take Creighton. hell, I would even consider trying to middle it if I can get a good number on the money line. But these are all just pre-thoughts, but without me really digging deep. So I'm going to do that today, tomorrow, get with a great guest and give you a, hopefully a great show for Wednesday to prepare you for the Sweet 16. My friends, thank you so much for listening to the show. As a recap, we are taking Clemson at the +7 for 2 stars, actually 2.5 stars. If you have any questions, feel free to tweet us at The Odds Breakers. Email us at info@theoddsbreakers.com. Have a great rest of your week, and go get some winners.